We're going to complete lesson two this morning. We've been talking about communication in marriage. And I'm convinced that oftentimes most of our problems will come in simple things, and simple things that have been neglected. And I do think the area of communication is a pivotal and key element in any relationship. It's interesting, as I have prepared this material, I've oftentimes thought about the work of being a parent, the work of being shepherds in a congregation. And it's just amazing, as you really think through what is needed in a marriage, is really what is needed in most relationships, in working together. And so it's no surprise, as you look later where you select a shepherd, and you look at those qualifications, there's so much mentioned about the home. We want to be builders in God's kingdom. And building is really involved people. And you've got to know how to establish relationships and communicate. A brief review, we talked last time about how many struggle because of what they've learned in their home. Now, many are greatly blessed. What you were taught in your home, I have no doubt you were taught good things. And you probably were taught some things that really ought not to be imitated. And any parent who raises children recognizes that not only their strengths but their weaknesses likely will be amplified within their children. But above all, we've talked about, let's go back to God's Word. And we can learn from God's Word about how to correct anything that we need to correct. A couple of other things that we've talked about, too, is that in communication, don't get into an overconfident mode where you think you assume you know what your mate is thinking. And that's a great mistake that is commonly made. Another thing about communication is you need to learn specifically the language of your mate. We talked about some things last week about that. We'll develop this again today, but there are things that to somebody else, it may mean this to you, but to your mate, it really has another meaning, and you're probably going to have to ask about it and learn, but you need to listen and learn and study one another. One of the biggest things in communication, we definitely will be talking about this today, is showing a willingness to listen. You may not realize, and one of the major thrusts we're going to talk about today, you may be wanting to communicate, but communicating to your mate, don't talk to me. And we'll develop that. Your mate needs to know that you really want to listen. And then, of course, making time for it. I know that in our home, when maybe there's sickness or travel or busyness, we're probably more vulnerable when we don't have that time to communicate, whether or not for good things or not. And you want to, as much as possible, take that time. So that's our review of last time. And now we're going to start in Roman numeral 2. And we're going to talk about how we can hinder communication. Let me ask you, let's just make a brief list here. What kind of person are you comfortable communicating with? And what kind of person are you uncomfortable communicating with? If you were just to make a brief list, what would we do? Take either list, comfortable, uncomfortable. Pick one and let's choose a characteristic. Let's talk about, go ahead. Okay, yeah, people that are like you, think alike, you know. It's us guys, we have a very cool way of communicating, brief to the point, and maybe even a grunt, and we're happy, you know. So, you know, but that doesn't work for my wife. That is true. That, what else? Let's say, who are you comfortable communicating with? Let's just start there.
Someone you trust.
Huh?
Someone you trust.
Someone you trust. Trust is critical. And you think they care about you, you know. There's a common interest in... What else? Who would you like to communicate with?
Someone you agree with.
Someone you agree with, yeah. That way you don't have to worry about. And by the way, you may not realize it, some of the things we're going to talk today, you can end up developing relationships only with those that agree with you. And you can cast those off that don't. And that's not a healthy thing, by the way. It is not a healthy thing. We've seen that in situations within the church. It's not, you know. It's not, that's not good. But again, it's good to have somebody agree. Who else? Yes.
Somebody who's calm, where you don't feel like you say the wrong
So you're saying there's a difference when you're just kind of walking in the park or maybe going through a minefield? Is there a difference maybe in stress level? Okay, yeah, okay. That's where we're going. We're going to start. Yes.
Along the same line, somebody that's not going to pass quick judgment.
Yeah, that's right. Quick draw, McGraw. And, you know, those are, yes, that's very, that's getting in the area here, you know. I'll say this. I would want to know they want to hear from me. You know, if I've communicated in the past, I think they've actually listened to me. I'll never forget. As a young preacher, when I was first starting to preach in 1975, I was at a congregation that was half black and half white, and actually there was a native Nigerian preacher there that Paul Earnhardt had worked with in Nigeria and actually had come to the United States. And Paul Earnhardt would come in and hold a meeting every year for us. And I'll never forget one thing about Paul Earnhardt. I was just as green as could be. 3 years out of high school. And you know what? When I had something to say, he would really listen. I've always been impressed with that. Because I found other preachers that were more experienced. And, you know, like, you know, that they let you know that, okay, pat you on the head, good to hear from you, you know, go. You know, there are characteristics, things you can do to promote communication and not. And sometimes you don't know you're doing it. Let's talk about anger. Let's talk about wrath. James 1:19, some verses on the chart in the outline. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Haven't we in that one verse almost encompassed all of the things we just discussed? You know, slow to wrath, you know, you're not, somebody's not going to suddenly hit you, you're not in the minefield. Slow to speak, not going to make a quick judgment, you know? But quick to hear. And the idea there is that you'll help others with communication. You're willing to hear. And I want to say this too. You really are wise when you learn when somebody's saying something to you that's hard. I will tell you, you know, David Hartzell has been my best friend for years. And David would tell me what I need to hear. I've always had it. There are times, you know, oh, I didn't want it. But, you know, I've always appreciated that. That's been helpful. My wife will do that with me. And I'm thankful because I need somebody who cares for me and tells me unpleasant things that done out of love that I need to hear. And so be careful. If you can in your relationships, even with your mate, teach them never to talk to you about unpleasant things. That will not be good for you nor your relationship. Go ahead.
One thing that's helped me too in that verse is to realize the home I grew up in was like many from the 60s and the 50s and before, where the only emotion most men were taught to show then was either none or anger.
Yes.
And yet, verse 20, "For the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God." I had to memorize that.
Yeah, and I should have had 20 in there for sure. I don't know why 20 is not in there. The wrath of man does not accomplish the purpose of God. And let's talk about anger. Let's go to another verse if we could. Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You want to shut down communication, stir up anger. Now, you know, it's interesting. We're going to talk later about personality types. There's some personality types won't be mad if you're angry with them. They'll just hang right in there with you. You know, you can just pop them right in the head and they'll pop you right back and they're okay with it. But most people aren't, okay? Most people aren't with that. And uncontrolled anger in all of its forms is deadly to communication. And let me just emphasize this. Please learn to control your anger. Do not speak in uncontrolled anger. You know why I say that? Because first off, the emotion in an uncontrolled form is a sin. You can be angry and not sin, by the way. Let's just jump ahead to Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. But let's suppose, and we're going to come back to Galatians 5 in a moment. Let's suppose you speak in uncontrolled anger. What happens? First off, let's talk about the content and the truthfulness of what you say. If you speak in uncontrolled anger, you'll speak accurately, right? Maybe, but unlikely. I know Yvette and I have talked at times. We have a little rule that we've had early on in our marriage. I'm very thankful for it. And we've decided, and I think it's a good decision, I think it's based on James 1, we will not speak to one another when our anger is not in control. You know why we choose to do that? First off, if you dump anger on some person, you get it dumped back. And I have to tell you, my disposition is to be, I'm the calm and cool guy, but I can have a snap anger. I can just somehow have that where it can kind of hit you. And when I get anger dumped on me, sometimes I didn't even know that's coming. It's coming. And I got to bite that tongue. First off, you don't want to dump anger, then get anger back, and you get up in this anger cycle. But secondly, what are you liable to say when you have uncontrolled anger?
Very hurtful things.
Yes. Things that you will regret. My wife is dear to me. She's sensitive. She's important to me. I don't want to say something that would be put into her conscience and something that she might have difficulties forgetting the rest of her life. As the husband, she's dependent upon me. We've already talked about the ability to communicate has a lot to do with how she feels about herself. I'm in a unique spot as a husband. And husbands, we are not necessarily in the same spot with our wives. We've talked about that. We could accomplish in our business and have other things and feel a sense of accomplishment. But our wives, much more so, their self-esteem and their feeling about themselves depend on their relationship with us. And so a single angry word can be devastating. Pray that, don't do that if you can. If you do, ask forgiveness and so on. But it's far, 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 far better never to say things. And Yvette and I have talked before. We know. I tell you what, there's part of this rule I hate. I'll tell you what it is. You know, sometimes we as husbands, we're gleefully going through the world and thinking everything is wonderful. And then we see our wives are not talking and there's something kind of, you know. And so we, is there something wrong? Yes, there is. And I can't talk to you about that right now. You know, there's our rule. We have the rule. If you say, we can't talk about it right now, you can't push them. Go ahead and tell me. Tell me what it is. So what do you have to do? If you can't talk about it right now, husband, what you got to do?
Dread.
You got to wait, you know. Oh, man, you know. Now, and this is not the exact parallel, but my dad had some really good psychological warfare that he would play on me when I was going to get a spanking. I didn't get spanked immediately. I had to go in the bathroom and wait on them. Oh, no. I'm not saying it's the same thing as not stop not communicating with your wife. I'm not saying that. But here it was. I mean, there's a part where we kind of, let's get this over with. What could it be? You know, you gone through that. What did I do? And so anyway. But it's far better because he had come back to me and said, if I had talked to you right then, I would have said some things that I really would not want to have said. It would have been accurate. This is huge. I plead with you, do not have anger and bitterness in your marriage relationship. It will cause more harm than you can ever imagine. You're getting into, honestly, one of my hobbies here, something that I talk about a lot. But let me show you why you can't do this. If I can get this working, it's not... Here we go. I'm going the wrong way. Well, okay. Here we go. Galatians 5:19. Brethren, could we be talking about some of these things? Now, we have the works of the flesh, and it goes, there's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. But now notice this whole other section. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. Brethren, these are the works of the flesh. This is Satan's A-team. To shut your mind down. And I will tell you, one of the most common causes of why children are not faithful in being raised in Christian homes fall right here. I feel very, very strongly about that. Matter of fact, if you look in the case of, you know, years ago, I dealt with a case of a family. They didn't have a good relationship. The father was a very angry father. I was close to both of them, actually trying to work with them on this. And the mother revealed to me that the son was a homosexual. I later got to study with him and work with him. I studied about the background of homosexuality. And in this case, you know, he had been alienated from the father. There was anger. And the one thing he wanted more than his whole life was to have a relationship with his father. He did before he died. He got AIDS and he died. But I learned a lot from that. I just couldn't imagine thinking how my anger in my home can affect my children. Most depression comes out of homes that are angry homes. And many other issues. I could spend just several classes just talking about that. But again, I'm going to come back to just our relationship. Please. Let your relationship won't be one. While I'm not saying you can be immune from anger. By the way, anger is not a sin. Uncontrolled anger is a sin. Bitterness, when it's held within and you don't deal with things, that's the thing you want to deal with. You know, your children need to see you angry. Believe me, they need to see you angry at sin. But it's controlled, it's principled. And I don't mean just bearing it either, okay? I'm talking about dealing with it, you know, and we'll talk about the buried side of things. Any comments so far on that? Now, let me give you another. Oh, go ahead, Walker.
Just a thought, for me personally, in that area, probably for me, it's sort of a byproduct that I have to watch mm-hmm. and deal with even now, is even if we're not angry, the tone in which we say things.
Yeah.
We can be angry. Our spouse will know it by our body language and what we say, but sometimes even when we're not angry, we carry on that tone, and I struggle with that, and I have to watch it all the time, and your spouse can get that idea that, oh, there's something wrong, or they're upset, and not really understand what you're trying to say, so we've got to be careful when we get, you know, past the anger part in our lives, but still carry on that tone of how we talk communicate with our wives or our husbands.
Are you saying when I tell my wife, I love you, that she might be offended at that? And there's nothing wrong with those words. All I said is, I love you, you know? So, yeah. And I tell you what, the body language is not always what we think it is. I know that actually when I'm concentrating and listening the most, that I have this funny look. And Vic kind of asked me about it. Well, I'm actually concentrating, but sometimes we can't always control body language, but it's very, very important. And being able to look and other things, yeah, that's very...
A lot of times when I'm talking seriously about something, I have that tone, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Are you mad? And my immediate response, because I'm not, is, well, no, I'm not mad. So it's just, and then I have to, personally, I have to work on that.
And it's good, yeah, it's good to ask, and it's good because that's really important. That was in my notes, the nonverbal anger. Let me say, don't bury anger. Sometimes that's another thing. Well, I'm just not going to say. Let me tell you what. Here's what can happen. When you communicate to your mate, they're going to talk to you about this, they're going to be mad. You know what your mate will tend to do? Let's talk about it. Let's say it's your boss, and if you communicate something to him, he might be mad at you. What do you tend to do? Not communicate. Okay? You can teach your mate not to talk to you. Ooh, that won't be good. But you could train yourself. I mean, particularly, you know, I could later talk about depression, but when depression comes into home, that's very characteristic if somebody's struggling with depression, they will train you. There are some things you can't talk to them about. That's not healthy. That's not healthy. You got to find a way how to do it, how to communicate. And so these are struggles. These are struggles. Let's talk about suspicion and imagination. We're talking about how to stop communication. How to get yourself so tensed up and balled up that everybody's afraid to talk to you. There have been circumstances and situations where communication is given, and then the mate took it and started having all kinds of suspicions and started imagining things that were not within the realm of the communication. I think we all at times may struggle with something like that, but how do we overcome that? What if your mate says, well, you know, I've struggled with this and I prayed about it. I've repented of this. I'm struggling here. And then the mate starts thinking, well, if they struggle with this, then what about this? And if it's this, what about this? Have any of y'all, you know, is that something that y'all related to at times where you maybe, you know, there's so many ways to describe this. But what happens when we let our imagination and our suspicion turn into, in our mind, reality? What's wrong with that?
There's no truth there.
Is that?
There's no truth there.
Yeah, it's not true. And you see, I will tell you, you talk about how you're raised and maybe even some churches you come out of. I'm afraid that some brethren have taught others to make snap judgments in all kinds of circumstances, when you don't have the evidence to make that judgment. Now, you know what I'm talking about here? I'm talking about justice, mercy, and truth. And I want to tell you, once you start building a case, whether it be against your mate or maybe some worry, you know, we can talk about worry. We do this all the time in worry. Oh, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. It'll make you miserable. And what will happen if you're the kind of person where somebody communicates something to you and then you take the ball and you run, you go past the goal line, you go out of the end zone, you go out of the stadium, and you keep running with the ball? People are going to finally say, shh, don't talk to him or don't talk to her. Justice. Psalms 89:14, righteous and justice are the foundation of your throne, speaking of God. Mercy and truth go before your face. Hosea 12:6. So you, by the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. The Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of men and anise and cumin, and neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. And I'll say, some of us may just have to rethink things. I'll never forget a brother that used to attend here that preached with Dave Bradford Sr. and then later went into full-time preaching. I worked with him, Lynn Huggins. I don't know if y'all know Lynn. Lynn helped me a lot. There were some times I was talking about some brother I was having trouble with, and I started saying, you know, I bet you he's going to do this. I bet you he's going to do this. I bet you he did. And Lynn just pulled me aside. Larry, you don't know that. And I kind of started thinking, well, thank you, brother. By the way, I can tell you, I love good friends. They'll do that. And they got me calmed down in my thinking. But if you're the kind of person, you have one bad thing told you, and next thing you know, you're constructing worries or you're constructing this, you're going to teach your mate, don't talk to me. Hide it. Bury it. Try to tell the kids not to talk to you. Y'all following me on this? Figure out how to ways to work it out. But you see what happens here. These are the kind of problems, honestly, as Walker and I working as elders and shepherds, these same kind of problems are amplified. It's fascinating as you see problems, situations, of how it's these same kind of things that can be created in various circumstances that create problems in a congregation.
Larry?
Yes, okay.
A good example of that is the Bible of Job. Yes. When they were confronting him with all the problems, they said, you got to be sinning because all this is happening.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for us to know what God's judgment is or our people's actions. We can't take one situation and apply it across the board.
Yeah. Righteous skin. And you won't regret taking time to jump to a conclusion.
Oh, well. At least he took time before you, you know, jumped off the ledge. I'm sorry.
But this is really important. See, truth is your friend. You want to be able to see. And those who've dealt with in homes where there's been depression and other things, they can really relate to this. Where you deal with circumstances where really, honestly, you can't communicate with someone until they're able to be strengthened and come to a stronger place. I've already talked about this last time, so about checking out while pretending to listen. You know, I heard a case once, theoretically, someplace where a woman actually took a computer screen and put it over her face to communicate to her husband because she was spending so much time on the computer screen, and so... we won't mention where that happened or who did that. But you definitely want to eliminate the distractions in communication. We talked about that last time. And again, this is very similar here. You can give up and you can close your heart. You know, I see situations where people want to justify that in their marriage. And even separate in ways that God does not want them to separate or even divorce. The Bible tells you this is what you do as a Christian. If your mate closes their heart to you, you don't close your heart to them. You need to want to do God's will and God's way. All right, I want to go to Roman numeral 3, make sure we cover this before we finish today. We've got to constantly continue to learn. We change. Your kids come, things change. Kids leave the home, things change. Your health changes, things change. You have a disease, hits your home. There's so many things that can happen to radically change your life. You never have this down, brethren. You never have accomplished or achieved. You have to each day start and be humble and learn and love enough to talk to your mate. Wisdom is important, and that's what we're talking about here. In Colossians 4:6, it says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." But that's dealing with unbelievers here. Now, should we be kinder and wiser to unbelievers than to our mate? And so as we talk about wanting the truth, as we talk about communicating, you know, I might come to my wife and says, "Honey, you blew it, and you were just arrogant when you said this to our child, but I love you." Or I might say, you know, that might could have been said another way. How do you think, you know, there's different ways we can communicate. And I appreciate Yvette toward me calmly, nicely, sometimes asking a question, you know, and I answer the question kind of like the situation with David and the prophet that helped him see his situation. Let's talk about, we've talked about male and female differences, just review. Women typically are more verbal. They're actually wired that way. We talk about this. Their comfort, their emotional comfort, is to be with somebody close to them and talk. Men are not necessarily wired that way. But let's talk about personality styles a little bit too, because we've hinted at that. You know, as you understand people are put together differently. You know who I tend to make friends with? I tend to make friends with the blunt kind. The kind of person that doesn't always is as sensitive to others, but they're the decisive people that will come right down and, you know, say this. And, you know, I'm a laid-back guy. My basic personality type, you might not could tell it in the public persona, but my basic personality type is more laid-back, and I kind of like the bold person that just will pop, you know, just talk to me. But now, like my wife Yvette, we talked about personality type. She's got a personality type that's more sensitive, more detailed, more caring of others. And she'll be around a person of a blunt personality type, and she has trouble with them. And even though there's good people, we've talked about this a lot. I remember one brother in Bessemer, she would have struggle with him until he got to know them and got to love them. But there are things in terms of how we're put together, how we prefer our communication. And so the one who's got the strong personality type has to learn, and it's difficult. It's difficult. Our kids have different personality types. We've got one child that's got all the outgoing ones. And we talk often about personalities. And, well, why do people sometimes, seem to be afraid of me? Why do people pull back from me? I said, well, sometimes you may come on a little strong, Well, I don't mean it that way. Well, I know that. But these are things, again, specific to the person that you have to work with. Oftentimes, plain and blunt works. If I know somebody's personality type, I like to be around the guy that just laid out, because I pop them and they pop me back, particularly as guys. And we just get along with that just fine. I'll never forget Yvette and I, years ago, we played Rook with another couple. And this is dealing with personality types and guys and girls. The guys teamed up and the girls teamed up. And you know what us guys did when we made a great play to win? We high-fived, and if they made a mistake and we jumped in and beat them, we laughed at that. It kind of had fun. And it was a great night. It was a fun night with us guys. And then I saw Alan the next day. He goes, well, my wife wasn't real happy with me. I said, but mine wasn't either. And, we were just being guys, and it was nothing. But see what's interesting? Again, with all good intents, we need to know people and try to preach to a group of different you talk about different ways things can be taken. These are challenges. Here's what I'm talking about, and it's interesting, all of these concepts that we're talking about here is also taught in how we deal with others. It's here, going back to the lost. Notice this, 1 Corinthians 9:20, as to the Jews, I became a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, was under the law, that I might win those who were under the law. To those who were without law, was without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who were without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might all men save some. Now I do this for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Could I say the same kind of wisdom would work with our mates too? I'm talking about understanding them, understanding how to approach them, understanding how to connect with them, finding common ground. And by the way, another good thing in communication is to try to find things you hold together, that you like to do together, that you rejoice in together, to establish that relationship. And now let's finish up here. And I'm going to go almost back to the anger study here. But fill your communication with words that build up others. Let me go back to your home. Do you know what will happen if you learn how to fall into the land of the scoffers? You know what might happen? Second bell already? Okay. Well, we'll finish this next time, and we'll get into lesson three. Lesson three starting, I'm going to talk about how to guard your heart. It's going to be a multi-part section, but it's going to be dealing with a development of some things we've talked about. But I want to talk to you about real dangers and real good ways to keep your heart and ways that your heart can be pulled away. And we'll pick that up next week. Thank you for your participation.